ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th Canto, Chapter 8, The Sons of Sagara Meet Lord Kapiladev. Text 13. Yasyarita Sankhyamayi Drideha Naur Yaya Mumukshus Tarate Duratyayam Babarnavam Mrityupatam Vipaschita Paratma Bhutasya Katam Pritanmatihi Yasyerita Sankhyamayi Drideha Naur Yaya Mumukshus Tarate Duratyayam Bhavarnavam Mrityupatam Vipaschita Third line, you don't make long the edge. Only second and fourth line, according to Sanskrit grammar. If it comes in the first or second line, you don't elongate it. It's only vipaschita, not vipaschita. Only in the first and third line, and the second, fourth is okay. Paratma bhutasya katam pritam matihi. Yasyerita sankhyamayi drideha naur Yaya mumukshus tarate duratyayam Bhavarnava mrityupatam vipaschita Paratma bhutasya katam pritam matihi Vaishnavis, Ityupatam vipaschita. Tasya katam tamate. Yasya, by whom Irita had been explained. Sankhya Mayi, having the form of the philosophy, analyzing the material world. Sankhya philosophy. Dridha, very strong. To deliver people from this material world. Iha, in this material world. Now, a boat. Yaya, by which? Mumukshu, a person desiring to be liberated. Tarate, can cross over. Duratiyayam, very difficult to cross. Baba Arnavan, the ocean of Nisais. Mrityu Patam, a material life of repeated birth and death. Vipaschita, of a learned person. Paratma Bhutasya, who has been elevated to the transcendental platform. Katam, how? Pritagmatihi, a sense of distinction between enemy and friend. Translation. Kapila Muni enunciated in this material world the Sankhya philosophy, which is a strong boat with which to cross over the ocean of Nisayas. Indeed, a person eager to cross the ocean of the material world may take shelter of this philosophy. In such a greatly learned person, situated on an elevated platform of transcendence, how can there be any distinction between enemy and friend? Purport. One who is promoted to the transcendental position, Brahma Bhuta, is always jubilant. Prasannatma. He is unaffected by the false distinction between good and bad in the material world. Therefore, such an exalted person is Samasarveshu Bhuteshu. That is to say, he is equal to everyone, not distinguishing between friend and enemy, because he is on the absolute platform, free from material contamination. He is called Paratma Bhuta or Brahma Bhuta. Kapila Muni, therefore, was not at all angry at the sons of Sagara Maharaj. Rather, they were burnt to ashes by the heat of their own bodies. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripatamaham bandeshi gurum dinataranam. So, Lord Kapila Dev, being in the transcendental platform, he didn't feel any anger or hate toward the son of Sagara Maharaj. And therefore, that understanding that he burned them with his eyes was completely wrong. So, He initiated the Sankhya philosophy, which culminates in Bhakti Yoga. I mean, Sankhya philosophy is to, you know, there are two kapilas. One of them is atheist. And there's the real kapila, the incarnation, avatar of Krishna. He culminates his Sankhya philosophy in Bhakti, in devotional service to the Lord. The atheist kapila doesn't. He just speaks about the material elements and that's it. Mm-hmm. That's the end of it. No? So, it's very nice that this Brahma Buddha platform is rarely achieved in this material world because it's difficult to achieve. That's why Prabhupada explained that actual pure devotional service starts after achieving this Brahma Buddha platform. Brahma Buddha prasannatma nasochati nakangshati samasarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. When one is situated in the Brahma Buddha, is always joyful. He's never morose. Prabhupada said devotee can't be morose, otherwise he's not devotee. The only way that the devotee is allowed to be sad if he's feeling separation from Krishna. But that's not material. That's spiritual. That's transcendental. So that's alright. Prabhupada said that's another type of ecstasy. Mm-hmm. Difficult for mundane people to understand. So, Lord Kapila Dev, in his teaching, so, in the verse of Bhagavad Gita, that Prabhupada is quoting in the purport, it says that, naso chatina kanshati, how we know that the person is actually self-realized. He doesn't lament or hanker for material things. He is free from that. Free from lamentation for the loss of material things or hankering after material things others have. That's the proof that somebody is in the platform. Naso chitina kanshati sama sarveshu bhuteshu. He sees everybody equally. He doesn't make distinction on the bodily platform. So, in that state, transcendental state, Mad bhaktim labhate param, he achieved pure devotional service. So we are in the process of practicing sadhana bhakti to get purified so we can develop this self-realization. I mean, we achieve self-realization by devotional service. We don't need to go through Sankhya philosophy. Of course, we study Sankhya philosophy because it's there in the Bhagavatam explained by Kapila Muni. But the conclusion of his philosophy is one has to practice devotional service. That's the ultimate understanding. And he speaks many nice verses. I'm going to quote some of them in his third canto, chapter 25, text 20. He says, Prasangam ajaram pasham atmano kavayovidu saiva sadushokrito moksha dwaram apavitram. That an intelligent person knows that attachment to the material things is the cause of suffering. But when one dovetails this attachment to great souls, that's opened the door to liberation. Moksha dwaram apavitram. So we can't live without attachment. It's the nature of the soul to be attached to somebody or to something. So the process of Krishna consciousness is to direct this attachment, natural tendency to be attached, toward Krishna and his devotees, his pure devotees. In that way we dovetail this tendency for attachment. Material attachment actually causes suffering. I'll give you an example. Two boys were playing, and one asked his friend, please lend me the ball I want to play. The friend said, okay, I will lend it to you for 1 hour. I'm going home, but I'm coming back for it. Okay. So the boys start to play with the ball. And after like 55 minutes, he sees his friend coming to claim back his ball. The boy starts suffering like anything. Because he become attached to the ball, I don't want to give it back. It's mine now. It's been with me for so long, now it's mine. So that's the nature of attachment. We're living in this body for so many years, we became very attached to it. We think not. I know the philosophy, I'm not this body, I'm soul. But the attachment is very deep-rooted in the heart. It's very deep-rooted. We have to be very careful. Some years ago, I was living in Europe, Belgium or France. And there was one accident when Grihastha devotee, he was cutting a tree and fell on him. And he was, practically speaking, leaving his body. So his wife was next to him, trying to put picture of Prabhupada and Krishna to remind him, you know. And he was saying, no, no, I want to see you. I'm very attached to you. She said, no, no, please be attached to Krishna. But he was like, no, I don't, you know. I'm not ready yet, you know. So that's the nature of attachment. It's difficult. Don't think it's easy. But the good thing, he will get another chance. Even if one devotee is still attached while dying, he will get another opportunity to revive his Krishna consciousness. Krishna will give him another chance. You know that famous story in England? One Indian girl, she remembered her past life, and she was a brahmachari in the past life who was attached to some Indian lady. But he couldn't propose. He was planning to, but he didn't. And he was going in the car with the devotees. It was a car accident, and he died. And next life, he became an Indian girl. But she became devotee. That's the nice thing. She became immediately attracted. And she became disciple of Bhaktisarya Swami. But she had a dream, and she had many proofs that she was actually that person in past life. The weird thing, she went to visit that lady she was attached to in past life, to speak to. That must be weird. Anyway, that's the nature of the material world, you know. We create so many attachments and bewilderment, you know. Nowadays people use reincarnation to find out who they were in past life out of curiosity, you know, for fun. It's not enough to identify with the body we have now, we have to identify with the body we have before. So it's more false ego than before. Of course, unless one knows I'm not the body, I'm the soul, I'm just changing bodies. I'm not the body I had, nor the body I have now, nor the body I may have in the future, unless it is a spiritual body, of course. So that's the nature of this material world. But if the boy is intelligent, this ball was never mine. My friend just lent it to me. So what is the problem? Just let me give it to him back. No problem, no suffering. So that's the whole point. If we actually understand very clearly, very nicely, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, we can overcome all kinds of mental, emotional, psychological problems due to attachment. Because that's the problem of the material world. We become attached to it. Prabhupada said, the more we become, pessimistic about the material world, the more we become, the more we advance in a spiritual life. I was saying that some time ago in one lecture in Vrindavan, and one devotee girl came to say, I can't understand that. Why we have to be pessimistic about the material world? It's difficult for me to understand that. I told her, okay, at least try to think that without Krishna, the material world is a very horrible place. Okay? With Krishna, is fine. If you have Krishna consciousness, it's okay. You know? Even the material world can be a happy place. If we use everything in Krishna's service, the material energy becomes transformed into spiritual energy when it is used in the service of the Lord. She said, well, I can relate more easily to that. And it's a fact. I mean to say, we don't hate the material world. We just know it is a miserable temporary place, and we don't have to be attached to it. Prabhupada said we can even admire the beauty of Krishna's creation without desire to exploit it or to lord over it. So that's the balanced way of seeing things. And since Kapila Deva, acting as a very saintly person, he didn't feel any enmity or anger toward the sons of Sagaraldo. They came to, kill him. They were shouting, "Kill him, kill him." He wasn't angry. He was tolerant. So that's the symptom of a saintly person, also given by Kapila Dev in 325.21. He says there, Titikshava Karunika Suridam Sarva Dehina Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadava Sadhu Bhushanam. That a saintly person is Titikshava Karunika, very tolerant and very merciful. Suridam Sarva Bhutanam, friendly toward all living entities. Ajata Shatrava, he's not inimical toward anyone. Shanta, he is peaceful. He or she, they are peaceful. Peaceful, they don't disturb anyone, they don't allow anybody to disturb them. Although there may be disturbance, the person is titiksha, is tolerant. And ajata, shatrava, sadava. Sadava means he followed the shastras, he abide by the shastra, by the scriptures. These are some of the ornaments of a saintly person. So, the proof of somebody's detachment, I mean, how we know a devotee is actually advanced? By three things. He has spiritual knowledge, he has detachment, and he has bhakti, he has devotion. To the degree he has this more and more, he's more advanced. There's one story that happened in Vrindavan. One thief came into the house of a devotee. He was an associate of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And there were not many things, but whatever was there, he collected and put in a big bag. And he was trying to get out of the house through the window. He got out, but the bag stuck in the window. So he was trying to pull it out. And then he felt that somebody from inside the house was helping him by pushing the bag out. So he became bewildered. How is this possible? I'm stealing and they're helping me. I mean, so he was so shocked. He entered the house from the other window and he spoke to the devotee. "I'm robbing you. Why are you helping me?" And he told him, "That's okay. If you need it, take it away. No problem. Maybe you need it more than me. That's all right. No big deal. You take it." The man was shocked. "But you also need." "I may need, but no problem. Krishna will provide. Well, devotees will provide. You know, Krishna will, through the devotee, he will provide. Don't worry about it. Take it. Be happy." And he asked him, "Who are you? Please tell me." "Oh, I am Narayan Bhatta Goswami." "Oh, I heard about you, that you are a very saintly person." He bowed down crying, "Please, accept me as your shishya, your disciple." He became a devotee, the thief. Stopped stealing and he became devotee. Just by one moment of association with a pure devotee, his heart changed. Bad habits are very difficult to overcome, you know. There is one story about that. Once a thief wanted to reform himself, to stop, you know, his bad business of stealing people. And he went on pilgrimage with other pilgrims to holy places, the idea to get purified and give up these bad habits. And after a few weeks traveling with them, one night they were in the Dharmashala. And he couldn't sleep at night. At midnight he woke up, you know, he was like, his hands were like itching, you know. He had to do something, you know. Very strong, you know, with the bad habits sometime. So he did something. and went to sleep. Next day, morning, all people fighting. Why do you have my bag? No, but you have mine. See, he has the other one's bag. You are stealing from me. No, you are stealing from me. So he stopped. He said, please forgive me. I this is due to me. But this confusion is due to me. I'm a thief by profession. I'm trying to reform myself. That's why I'm traveling in pilgrimage with you. And last night I couldn't sleep. So I didn't steal anything from anybody. I just changed the bag's place just to be able to sleep. You know, I have to do something. So please forgive me. This is my fault. So that's the nature of bad habit. It becomes second nature to persons. So we were discussing last night about the demons in Vrindavan, and some of them we read. Tonight we continue. Today we start with Kaliya. You want to know who Kaliya was in his past life? Come tonight. Anyway, so we can overcome bad habits by developing good habits. That's the philosophy. We can't give up something unless we have something better to replace it. I remember a few years ago I gave a seminar on Bhagavad Gita, you know, in one art school, like for 3 months. And after this, all this time, it wasn't the weekends I was giving, you know. And some of the students, you know, they were artists, and they start to chant Hare Krishna, became vegetarian, some of them, you know. And so one lady once, she told me, I like very much Krishna consciousness, I've read in the book, I'm chanting japa, I give up meat eating, I only have one problem. It's difficult for me to give up smoking cigarettes. What should I do about it? You know, there are therapies about to help people how to give up this nicotine things and all kind of things. I told her, look, our process of Krishna consciousness is to replace lower taste for a higher taste. So every time you want to grab a cigarette, grab your japa instead and chant. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And see what will happen. I saw her after 2 weeks, she said, no cigarette in 2 weeks. I follow your advice, and I start to develop some taste for chanting. So I forgot my attraction to this. So that's param drishtvani vartate, that's our philosophy. It's not artificial, it's not dry. But, oh, I have to give up something, but I'm so attached, it's so difficult. No. We try to develop more attachment toward Krishna and his devotees. Then it's more easy that way. Mm-hmm. And that's what Kapila Dev Muni advised in 325:25. It's a very nice verse. One of my favorites from Kapila Dev. Satam prasangam mama virya sambivido babanti hritkarna rasayanat kata tad yoshanad asha pavarga vartmani shradhara tir bhaktiranukramishyati. That one should hear the pastimes of the Krishna in the association of devotees. Satam are the devotees, pure devotees. Satam prasangam, association. Mama virya sambido, my wonderful heroic activities. And that is very pleasing. Bhavanti, hrit, karna. Hrit is the heart, karna is the ear. Very pleasing to the ear and the heart. Very pleasing. And diminishes our attachment or suffering in the material world. And most importantly, shradhara tir bhakti ranukramishati. At every steps increases or shraddha or faith, ratir or attachment and bhakti or devotion to the Lord. So that's why it's so important to hear about Krishna's pastimes and the association of devotees. Along with philosophy, of course. We speak pastime with philosophy, so we understand how this demon represents different anarthas by hearing those pastimes and praying to Krishna and chanting holy name and making some endeavor, we can overcome this anarthas. It is possible. We have to have some faith in the process of Krishna consciousness that actually will help us to overcome all these difficult things. See even the story of so many demons, for example, Ravana's sister, Sharpanaka. She became very lusty after Lord Ramchandra because she saw him in the forest and she immediately was lusty after him. She said, she transformed herself into a very beautiful girl, you know. Rakshasi have that power, or Rakshasa have this power. And she openly, you know, told him, I'm very much attracted to you, please marry me. And Lord Ramachandra told her, well, I'm very flattered, such a beautiful girl, you know. But see, I am already married, here is my wife Sita. But my brother Lakshman is free, you can go to him. So she went to Lakshmana, and also you are very beautiful and handsome. Let's have a walk in the forest so we can know each other better, you know. And Lakshman said, oh, I'm also very flattered too. But you don't want to marry a servant. I'm the servant of my brother. But he's the king. You must insist on him. So she went back to Ramachandra. Please marry me. Ramachandra said, well, king can marry more than one wife, but you know, I made one vow, ekapatni vrata, to have only one wife. So I'm very sorry, you know, I can't. Here is my wife Sita. Please excuse me. Oh, when lust is not satisfied, anger comes, you know. She became very angry. Because of this Sita, you don't accept me. She was trying to hurt Sita. Then Lakshma chopped off her nose and ears. She was crying, you know. But what happened to her in next life? In her next life, when Krishna Balaram entered Mathura, she was a maidservant of Kamsa, and she was with sandalwood pulp for Kamsa. But as soon as she saw Krishna, her attachment reawakened. So she ran toward Krishna and started to decorate Krishna with sandalwood paste all over his body, you know. Krishna accepted her service. Who was she? Kubja. And Krishna was pleased with her service. So he stood on her feet and grabbing her cheeks, he pulled her up. And the hunchback disappeared. She became very beautiful. A young girl. And she invited Krishna to her home. Her lust wasn't gone completely. So Krishna went to her home and he put his lotus feet on her body, on her breast. And her lust was completely gone, finished. She became completely pure devotee. So Krishna is more liberal. In that sense, he accepts all kinds of souls. Ramachandra is more giving example of perfect human being. What is that word used? Sanskrit? Maryada Purushottama. He's giving perfect example as supreme human being in every aspect. So, sometimes devotees ask, there was one letter one girl wrote to Prabhupada. And the letter she said, Prabhupada, I've been chanting 16 rounds and following the four regulative principles for 6 months. Can you please tell me why do I still have cold? Suffer from cold. So, it's not that the material body will disappear. The misery will diminish, but will not disappear completely. Prabhupada gives the example of a fan. If you switch off the fan, it will not stop immediately. It still will go on until some time will stop. So in devotional service, we have to be very patient, very enthusiastic, and endeavor with confidence. It can be done. It is possible, yes. The example of so many souls in the past, they achieved it. They were conditioned souls and they got the mercy of the Lord and they became pure devotees. So even nowadays it is possible. So our condition in the material world in relation to anarthas is explained in one example I'd like to share with you. Is a potter, you know, the potter is doing is making a pot, you know, and the wheel, you know, the wheel was going round, and with his hand, he's shaping the pot from the inside, you know, and from the outside, he's beating the pot, so any bubble may come out, you know. Otherwise, if he doesn't take the bubbles out, and he put the pot in the oven, will crack. So the bubble have to come out of the pot. That's why he beat it up from all sides. In the same way, when we practice Krishna consciousness, you know, remember that verse? Shrimbatam swakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana hirantastoya badra nividunoti surit satam. That means that if we hear about Krishna Katha and the association of devotee, Krishna in the heart, he cleans the heart of the sincere devotee from the desire for material enjoyment. So that's a fact. That's like the potter shaping inside the pot. But because we still have some anarthas, so like the potter beating the pot from the outside to get out of the bubbles, and the same Krishna from the outside, Krishna is also purifying us through some material misery. You know, some sickness or some other problem. So we got, by this, we get a little detached. Oh yes, it is true, the material body, you know, the material world is temporary, miserable. So that's Krishna's mercy, you know. When Lord Brahma praying to Krishna in the 10th canto, he recited a very beautiful verse that all devotees should read and try to understand. He said, who knows the verse? Tate nu kampam shushamikshamano bunjane vatma kritam vipakam hidatpapadribhidatannamaste jivetayo muktipade sadayabhag. That devotee's life means is always patiently waiting, eager for the Lord's mercy. One day, if I keep staunchly in practicing Krishna consciousness without deviating from the four regulative principle and chanting the 16 rounds and reading the books and doing some service to the Lord, then surely one day Krishna will favor me with his mercy. So one patiently and enthusiastically should follow this. So this is the devotee's hope in life, that if I try to do my best, follow the process the best I can, and one day Krishna may favor me. And at the same time, all difficulties and reverses in life, devotees also should take it as Krishna's mercy, because you see, due to my past activities, I should be suffering even much more. But Krishna is so kind, he's diminishing to the minimum what I actually deserve. So in that humble state of mind, one becomes dayabak. What means dayabak? Who knows? Inheritor. So what the son has to do to inherit his father's property? That's a very good answer. You know it. What one needs to stay alive in Krishna consciousness? To be obedient. To follow the instruction of Guru and Krishna. That means to be alive in Krishna consciousness. That's the connection we can maintain always with Guru and Krishna by following the instruction. So Lord Kapila's teachings are wonderful and lead us to bhakti yoga, pure devotional service. That's the ultimate goal of Sankhya yoga. For progressive yogis, they can go directly to bhakti yoga, or they want to go gradually, that's okay. But the goal is always bhakti yoga, pure devotional service. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
It says in the Gita that only the ignorant find a difference between Sankhya and Yoga.
Yes.
So how should we take that?
In the sense that Sankhya Yoga's conclusion ends up in Bhakti Yoga. I mean, if somebody is seriously studying Sankhya Yoga, he has to end up in Bhakti Yoga, because that's the conclusion. Okay, study the 24 material elements. And then what is there after that? There is Paramatma and Atma, the soul and super soul. And from where is the soul coming? Who's the super soul? Oh, it's an expansion of Krishna. And who is Krishna? Oh. You know, once two boys, they approached Prabhupada for initiation. That was at the very beginning of the movement. And Prabhupada asked them, how long you been in the movement? Oh, we've been only 2 weeks. We want to be initiated. We heard there are going to be initiation tomorrow. But also, okay, let me ask you 2 questions. Who Krishna is? Oh, he's the Supreme Personality of God. And who are you? We are his eternal servants. Okay, you can be initiated tomorrow. At least that understanding must be there, you know. Who is Krishna? Who are we? Any other question? Please pass the mic to...
Maharaj, you were speaking about attachments. Which would you consider to be the topmost attachment?
You know better than me.
This is what
the topmost material attachment? Mm-hmm. You know, a sex life. That's the most difficult thing to give up. All the material world is revolting around this, you know. All the fashions and the nice cars and nice dresses, all perfumes, only to attract the opposite sex. Huh? Prabhupada says the highest material pleasure, but at the same time is the highest entanglement, because it makes us identify with the body even much more. But we can overcome this only if we become attracted to the beauty of Radha and Krishna, the transcendental couple. The material world beauty, no matter how a young man or woman are beautiful, in the course of time, they will become old and ugly. The teeth will fall off. The skin become full of wrinkles, you know. So, material beauty is very temporary. It's flittering. It's illusion. But that's why we should be attracted to the eternal beauty of Radha and Krishna. That's eternally beautiful. That's higher attraction. Yes.
Maharaj, thank you very much for such a wonderful class. So, as you explained, bhakti is the highest process and Krishna is the most beautiful. But why bhakti is not practiced by many people outside? Like, for example, yoga has become so famous just quickly like this. And another process is also...
Because people are attached to their bodies. So yoga offers them to have a more slim, nice-looking body, you know, more healthy, you know. Then it's attractive more to more people, because everybody is on the bodily platform. But we can use that as a bridge to introduce bhakti yoga. And many yoga studios, they start to introduce kirtan, you know, as part of the yoga. So that's nice. We can use that as a tool to reach people through bhakti yoga. It's a gradual thing for most people, you know. There was one Christian priest, you know, warning people, don't practice yoga, you will become Hindu. But there was a yoga day, you know, even Muslims were there doing yoga, you know. So, anyway... Because bhakti yoga is more about surrender. Nobody would like to surrender. Surrender to God in love. That's a difficult thing, you know. But okay, somehow or other we try to encourage people, you know, chant, come to the temple, read the books. Gradually, it's a gradual process. So... Many people know about Krishna consciousness. Some years ago I read one article that there was some famous group. They made a what is that called when you interview many people and not the commentary.
Survey.
Survey. They made a survey and they asked millions of people in the street in America, which religion do you like most? And 10 million people said Hare Krishna. I mean, 10 million, that's a lot. Of course, a small percentage to all the population, but it's an encouraging number, you know. So maybe many people, they are attracted to Krishna consciousness.
So maybe they cannot follow, but they like the philosophy.
Yes, why not? Prabhupada said, even 1% of the population become Krishna conscious, this become Vaikuntha, this material world. So we have to become Krishna conscious first ourselves to help others also to become Krishna conscious. Have you seen when I fly in the airplane, they said if there is some air pressure, you put the mask first on yourself, then put it on the child or somebody. First you have to help yourself, then you can help others, you know. That's the idea of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said the highest realization is to save oneself. Because unless we save ourselves, we can't save others, you know. Like somebody trying to help somebody who's drowning, but he's not a good swimmer. He can drown along with the person. You know, they grab the necks and they both drown. So you have to be very expert. We have to become, all of us, very expert. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari.
I don't know.